Do you have
okay. So we're home. I'll have to find out and have a chance to find it.
Okay.
All right. So we are holding on Dalit. We're holding on Dalit on the bays by the two dots near the top of the Amid.
What did you cover yesterday?
We covered different things having to do with the stuff of Truma and how we mock the Truma and mock them. We do assume that if we find a Truma in one place that may conceivably have been brought there from a different place, etc. Okay. So we're holding about the two dots, Dalit on the base. So the Mishnah said, so we had a three-way machlokes in our Mishnah. We had Shammai saying that when a woman has a ri'iyah of blood, then we said daya shaita, it's enough to say that she's only tome from then on, not retroactively at all. Hillel said you have to go back to the last time she did a bedikah, so even if it was days ago. And the Chachamim say not like either one, rather what we say is it's 24 hours or the last bedikah, whichever is less. Expanding on that, turning up on, we learn on a bright. So the Chum like could do it there, but like could do it there. The Chum say not like one and not like the other. And by the way, as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, in all the three places where we have a machlokes between Shammai and Hillel themselves, where the machlokes persisted, where you have one time where Hillel ended up agreeing with Shammai, in all those cases the other Chachamim disagree with both of them, and in all those cases the halacha is like a Chachamim. Okay. What the Chacham generically means the pasture is all a bit Shammai and all a bit Hillel, minus Hillel and Shammai themselves. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So the Chacham loy kedivrei there. The Chacham say not like the words of one and not like the words of the other, meaning loy kedivrei Shammai. We don't want to hold like Shammai shaloy also siag l'dvarav, where Shammai did not at all make a sense around what he said, as we discussed in the Gemara the other day. The reason why Shammai figures that we don't want to make her Tomei L'Masreya, even for Truma and Kodshim, is because he's concerned that that may affect her relationship with her husband. If you're going to say that she's Tomei L'Masreya, then that may make her husband nervous that any time he has relations with her, if not long after that she has a Re'iyah, then he's going to be considered a Boil, he's going to be Tomei as a Boil Nida, and therefore he's going to abstain, and we don't want that. So on the other hand, the Chachamim said, the fact of the matter is, that's all very nice, but the fact is, you've got to make some kind of siag around the matter. It's not logical to say that the moment she sees the blood is the moment it started coming out of the uterus. Sometimes it can happen that it comes out of the uterus, and it takes time for it to actually flow out of the body.
So how many times?
Well, that's...
How many times, basically, does the blood stay in the uterus?
Well, that's the Chachamim thing. It can be up to 24 hours.
No. How many times?
Oh, I don't know how many times. The point is, it can happen. So therefore, so not like Shammai, who didn't make a siag at all, where Shammai is saying if she finds the blood at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then she's only Tomei from 4 o'clock, not even from 3:55, even though it could easily have taken 5 minutes for it to, you know.
But we're going to make a zero for something that might just happen 2 or 3% of the time.
Doesn't matter. The point is that we should make, if we have a matter daraisa, then we have the Chachamim are supposed to make siogim for things that are bonum. So here's Shammai, the other Chachamim are saying Shammai should make some kind of siog over here. Not to say that only when the blood is seen, only then is she tongue. So on the other hand, also not like Hillel, who goes too far, who Rashi explains, comes from more like Prozis Teish of Yerushalayim, it means that he made it too big, he made it too wide, to say that she's Tomei days back, even if the last time she did a bedikah was days ago. You shouldn't say that. Ella, so no, the Chachamim say, the rule is, me'es al yad kidal of kidah. The amount that me'es la'es, which is 24 hours, that reduces the amount of time from pekida to pekida. We said in the Mishnah al yad, Rashi explains yad means koyach. Some of the other Mephoshim explain that it means together with, whatever. The point is that, in other words, what we're saying is that if the time from one pekida to the next was more than 24 hours, then we're only going to make her tummy misstop at 24 hours back. And pekida of pekida, me'es al yad, me'es la'es. And from one pekida to another reduces the amount of time from mass less, meaning, in other words, that if there was a pekida within 24 hours, then we only go back to that one. So what do we mean?
If there was a pekida
within the last 24 hours, then we only go back to that one. Me'es la'es, me'es al-yad, pekida l'pekida, take that. What do we mean that the 24-hour period reduces the amount of time from one pekida to another? What do we mean by that? Case that. Bod ka'asma be'echa b'shabbos, the scenario that Rashi had given in the Mishnah. Suppose she last did a bedikah on Sunday, or masa tahora, and she found then on Sunday that she was tahor, v'yosh v'sheni u'shlishi v'loy bodka, then on Monday and Tuesday she didn't check. So we don't know whether she had a flow of blood during that time. Then on Wednesday, she checks and finds herself tamei. So the Chachamim would say, we're not going to say like Hillel that she's tamei misafik all the way back to the last kiddah on Sunday. Elam, the SYS, we're only going to mean mitamer her for 24 hours retroactively. So we're going to say 24 hours back. And when she found it, we're going to assume that we're going to say misafik that she may have been tamei.
Is it the Chachamim encourage her to check herself every day?
We're going to talk about that soon, yes. Yes. We do have to stress again that these dinim about being Tom and the Makreya are strictly as far as Truma and Kodshim. When it comes to her relationship with her husband, there's no such thing. Then we say she's only Tomei from when she actually sees the blood, and that so her husband wouldn't be considered a Tomei as a boil nida only from the time when she actually sees it, not before that.
So today wouldn't apply, right.
Again, we also said in the Mishnah the difference whether she has a vest or not, which we'll get to that. We'll get to that point soon. A vest is can mean a fixed time that she knows that she has a certain fixed schedule on which she has a period, or vest can also be, as we'll talk about more later in the Masechta, that she has certain physical symptoms that she feels right before she has a period. It could be cramps, it could be headaches, it could be chills, it could be any number of things. Okay, fine. Okay, so that's what it means that the maximum is masculine, even if the last kiddah was several days ago. Then continues the braisa. So, what do we mean that the time from one kiddah to the next reduces the strength or the amount of time masculine, kesad? What does that mean? Bodka asma b'shari shayma. Suppose she checked herself the first hour of the morning, so 6 a.m., let's say, or masas tahara, and she found at that time it was tahara. The yashvala shnio shlishis v'loi bodka. The second and third hours of the day, so 7 and 8 o'clock, she didn't check. And so we don't know whether anything happened. Although Ravias Bodko Mosatmeya, then during the fourth hour at 10 o'clock she checked and found that she was Tommy Mesles. We don't say that she's gonna be Tommy Mesles. We don't say that she would be Tommy Mistopic going back to 10 o'clock in the morning the previous day. Ellen was kiddle of kidder. We only go back to the previous kiddah, to the previous kiddah, which was the morning. Well, the question is Chita. Well, isn't that obvious? Given the podcast of a shorter show, well, she checked herself during the first hour and found herself tar, lame tamin and lama SLS. Obviously, we can't see the time of her mass less. There's no question. There can't have been any blood there at 6 a.m. The answer is fine. You're right. There's no chidish in that. I did a ton of mass less, ma'esasayad, kiddle of kiddah. Since the Mishnah and the Braisa have to mention the point that ma'es less is the maximum, even if it was several days between kiddahs, and there is a chidish in that, because again, Hillel says differently. Then, so therefore the Mishnah and the Braisa also use the parallel case, even though there's no real chiddush in it, because obviously when she did a bedikta, there's no question.
That's why the Gemara asked the question.
Right. Okay. Fine. Omer Rabba, my time, my Odirabon. Okay, now what is the Chachamim's reason that we should be going back 24 hours, Dafka? The reason is Isha Magesha Spasma, because the question basically is, in other words, as opposed to, it's one thing, Hillel, we can understand, but Kiddel of Kiddel. The point is, she did a Bedikah, let's say, on Sunday. What if the moment she finished the Bedikah, she had a flow of blood, and she didn't realize it, and then she only finds it out several days later? The question is, according to the Chachamim, where are we getting this 24 hours from, Ephesus? Why doctor 24 hours?
20 hours?
Yeah, right. The answer is, Isha Magesha Spasma. The reason is, because a woman feels when she has a flow of blood. So therefore, the Chachamim would say, says Rava, that if the moment she finished her previous bedikah, she actually had a flow, she would feel it. So therefore, there's no reason to be concerned that she may have actually had it several days ago, like Hillel says, because she would have felt it at the time.
No, but 1 second. So then you could say the other way around. If
One second. Amalei Abaya in Kain Kei Daya Shaita. So Abaya asks, in that case, then Chachamim should be saying like Shalai. All we need is Daya Shaita. We just need that she's Tomei right there on the spot because of Hagosha. Why would we say that she's Tomei for 24 hours back? And the answer is, you're right. Abaya has a good point. The Rabba L'chadur did Abaya Udivari. Actually, Rabba only gave this reason in order to sharpen Abaya. In other words, Rabba knew that this is not the real reason.
Although he doesn't have to be sharp, and he's very sharp. He's probably a sharp.
Okay, but at one point, Abaya was little, right? At one point, Abaya was a little boy, and later on, he was older and whatever. At this point, when he's a Talmud of Rabbah, the Rambam actually writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah that it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that sometimes a Rebbe has the right to, and sometimes he may feel it necessary to give a wrong answer or act according to a wrong precedent or something to see if the Talmud will pick up on it. So in this case, Abaye picked up on it. Which, by the way, the Rishonim and Achronim point out there's more here than meets the eye. I mean, after all, this question of Rabbi is so obvious that it can't just be that Rabbi is looking for that. So they explain that basically the question was, okay, but we still have to figure out why got the 24 hours. As you said, why not 20 hours? Why not some other time? So Abaye's question came to Daya Shaita, fine, that explains, so that slugs up the reason why we would say it's Isha Magdeshes Basma. It still doesn't really, but we're still left with the question.
We know there has to be a time.
Even given that we want to make a siag, as I'm going to say, we don't want to be like Shammai and not make a siag at all, but why did they take Daya for 24 hours? Okay. So therefore, let's say rather we have to say what's the Chachamim's reason? Why 24 hours? It's like this: Kihad the Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel. It's like what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Chachamim, and this answers your question from before. Chachamim, that you asked about, are the Chachamim encouraging that she should do B'ditzah fairly often? Which actually, we're going to mention it briefly here. We're going to talk about it in more detail at the beginning of the next part. We'll get to that. Anyway, Chachamim. Tiknu lahem l'bnei Yisrael. The Chachamim made a takana for Jewish women. She botus as mashachus ba'aretz, that they should do a bedika every morning and every evening. One second. Now again, keep in mind that a large part of what we're talking about over here is only as far as truma and kodshin, and this din also only applies when truma and kodshim are applicable. Therefore, nowadays, we don't have this concept that a woman has to do bedikah shachlis ta'aris, because there's no ta'aris to worry about.
Someone who's not married to a kohen, well, she...
It's not even a kohen. First of all, she could be handling truma that she could be giving to a kohen. She could be making dough, which you take challah from it, you give that to the kohen to eat. She could be handling kodshim. But, yeah. The Chachamim tiknu lahem levnei Yisrael. The Chachamim made a takana for Jewish women. She bodkas asman shachlis ba'avos. They have to do a bedikah every morning and every evening. Namely, why every morning and every evening? Shachlis lahachshir taris shalayla. They have to do a bedikah in the morning, first thing in the morning, in order to make kosher any taris that they worked with during the night. But let's say, in other words, again, let's say, for example, we're talking where, you know, making dough, for example, is something that very commonly women do. In fact, many of the Mishnayot Chala, we're talking about the whole din of taking Chala, most of those Mishnayot are phrased in the form of a woman baking, a woman kneading, or whatever, because it was a more common thing for women to do it, still is nowadays. So imagine, let's say, for example, she put up a batch of dough the night before. We don't know whether at that time she was Tomei, so we don't know whether the Chala from that is Tomei. Therefore, let her do a Bedika in the morning. If it comes out clean, then we know automatically that the previous night she was Tahor. Therefore, no problem. That Chala will be Tahor and she'll be able to give it to the Kohen. Similarly, she has to do a bedikah every evening in order to take care of the taharis during that day. Same idea. If she put up a batch of dough during the day, then like this, she'll know that evening was it definitely tahor, or is there a possibility that it was tahor?
Say the other way around. Say the evening for the night and the morning.
No, because each time what you're checking is what happened before that. You still don't know from the bedikah what's going to happen after that. Like we said in the Mishnah, Hillel says the moment she finishes the bedikah, she could have it a year, right?
Exactly.
Right. So it's not like the morning bedikah is going to help for the daytime taharis. It's to see what. Yes. Yeah, like this, she worked with taharis the night before. So were they in fact taharis? So in other words, she puts up a batch of dough that evening. That whole evening, when she goes to bed that night, we're not going to know yet whether it's tahor or not. The following morning, we'll know retroactively. Once she does her bedikah and she finds it's tahor, then we'll know retroactively that it was tahor. And obviously, if she finds that it's tamei. Then misafik, we have to say it was Tommy because it may have happened sometime. Yeah. Okay. So there is this takana that they have to do a bedikah every morning and every evening. So therefore, vizu. Now in this case, we're talking about a woman who skipped several days worth of bedikahs. Hoyo v'le vodka, since she did not follow this takana and did not do bedikahs, hifsida oino. So therefore, the chachamim are saying she loses one oino. In other words, again, that we say that we have to go back. An oina means a 12-hour period. Specifically, actually, an oina, and we're going to have this term a number of times in our Masechta when we talk about how to establish cycles and whatever. We'll talk about it. You know, you're learning in Tadus Meshvacha classes. An oina is a daytime. Well, it's not strictly speaking 12 hours. It's a daytime period or a nighttime period. So in other words, well, usually it comes out about 12 hours, but not necessarily, because, right, on a short day, you have fewer hours of daylight and a longer, but whatever, the point is, the full thing is 24 hours, but each one is not necessarily 12 hours, because you have a day, what's the
difference? 8 and 4 or 6 and 3.
Okay, so a day, let's say, for example, during the winter here in New York City, the sun rises about 8 and sets about 4.
Right.
So therefore, the day owner is from 8 until 4, and the night owner is from 4 till 8.
You have to go by this.
So the point is, in other words, that you have, there's an owner, there's a daytime owner and a nighttime owner, and over here, what happens is, we're making her lose one extra owner. So as much as my owner, what do you mean? As it is, she loses an owner anyway, because we just said, for example, if she does a bedikah in the morning and finds it's tame, then all the tarets she worked with the previous night are tame misafik. What we mean is only a seira. We mean because of this, we make a knas and we penalize her one extra. In other words, like this, if she had done the proper thing and she had done, let's say she had done a bedikah, let's say Sunday morning and then Sunday night and then Monday morning, suppose the Monday morning one came out no good, you would have the Sunday night tarets that she did are tame misafik, but the Sunday day ones would be good because she did a bedikah at the beginning of the night. Like this, because she didn't do a bedikah, we penalize her by she loses an extra owner. Everything from Sunday morning, and that applies actually even if she didn't do a particular Sunday morning, we're saying that we go back 24 hours and we're penalizing her one extra owner.
If
everything
she
from,
didn't do it at night, she would lose the day, basically.
Yeah. Right. Omelet a papa, the robber. So the papa asks the robber, what do you mean that you're saying that you always penalize her and she loses one extra owner? It's not always necessarily one extra owner. Well, zimnen mashkacha for gimel owners, the ma'as less. Sometimes you can have, if you're talking 24 hours, you can have that it could be parts of three onus. Namely, let's say again, she hadn't done a bedikah for several days. Let's say instead of doing a bedikah in the morning or in the evening, like we were saying, let's say she does a bedikah in the middle of the day at noon. So what are we saying? Mesles. So we're saying back to the previous day, noon. One second. That's what the question, your papa is asking like this. You're saying that we penalize her one extra onus. Which implies it, but that works. In other words, that works only if we're talking about bedikas that are done at the beginning of the day or at the beginning of the night. But what if she does in the middle of the day? What if she does, let's say, at noon? Well, that's okay. Hold on. Rapapa's question is, you're saying that we penalize her one extra owner, but in this case, if we go back to noon or the previous day, then you have half of the previous day's day owner, all of the night's owner,
okay.
And then you have half of the previous day's owner, which is part of one owner, the whole owner of the following night, and the owner of the next day until Chatzos. You come out parts of three owners. If you're telling me that we penalize her one extra owner, then we should say that we're only penalizing her, that her tariffs are charming the suffix, only back to the beginning of the previous night. Because we should say, like this, had she done a bedikah properly, then the ones from the night would have been good. And like this, we're penalizing her that the ones from the night are no good. Why are we saying even the ones she did from noon of the previous day? And the reason is, the Chachamim wanted to make a uniform rule. You don't want to start making distinctions within the Mesles. Once we say that a woman who didn't do her bedikah at the proper time is tame retroactively for a certain amount of time, we want to make it a standard amount of time. We want to make it a standard 24 hours. Otherwise, it would be confusing. Another answer you could say, the reason why we make her tame l'mafreya all the way back to noon the previous day, is shaloya hechoyte nisra, because we don't want, if you're only going to say that she always loses the previous owner and that's it, then it comes out that by not doing the proper thing, she actually ends up gaining. Like this, if she had not done the bedikah for several days and then she did the bedikah in the morning, she'd lose an entire 24 hours. You're saying that instead of doing it in the morning, she delayed even further and waited until noon. If you're saying that she only loses the previous night, then she's gaining by that. Then she has no incentive once she starts doing the bedikas again to do it at the proper time in the morning. Then she's going to figure, I may as well do it later in the day, and I'll still be able to get away with it. So like this, we always make her lose 24 hours. So as much as my binayu,
if you say a half an hour and you consider a whole day.
Not a half an hour, half a day.
A half a day.
Right. In other words, again, she did the bedikas. Let's say so she hadn't done the bedikas for days, let's say.
Right.
We're saying that eventually, let's say, it doesn't matter how many days, whatever. We gave the example, let's say, from Sunday to Wednesday. Let's say, for example, Wednesday she wakes up in the morning and realizes, you know, I really got to get back on a schedule of doing my vidik. So what happens? The proper things for her to do would be to do a vidik first thing in the morning. So that's the takana. They're supposed to do it first thing in the morning and first thing at night. Instead, so like this. What happens if she does it in the morning the way she's supposed to? So we're saying, okay, if she finds it, tell me, then Lamafre is 24 hours. So until Tuesday, 6 a.m., let's say. What would happen if Wednesday morning she wakes up, realizes, you know, I have to do my Vajika. All right, I'll get around to it. And finally she gets around to it. If you're going to say she only loses the previous, instead of 6 a.m., right, she delays it by a further 6 hours. If you're going to say she just loses the previous oina, meaning not just the one that she's in now, she loses the night before, then she's gaining. Like this, if she had done it in the morning, her tiredness would be tumming the suffix all the way back to 6 a.m. of the previous day. And like this, they're only tumming until 6 p.m. of the previous day. It's only 18 hours rather than 24. So we don't want her to gain that. So the question is, my benayu, what's the practical difference between these two reasons? And the answer is, ikka benayu, this nista v'loy vodka. What about if there was an oinus? Let's say 6 a.m. She woke up and there was some kind of oinus, so baby was crying or whatever, and she wasn't able to do a bedikah just then. So according to the second reason, chota nisker, there's no issue. She didn't do anything wrong. She meant to do the bedikah at 6, and just she was prevented by circumstances. But if you're saying that shaloi taflik, if you're saying you don't want to make distinctions because it'll be confusing, then you're still going to say 24 hours.
So then?
So that's it. So that's the practical difference between the two reasons.
If she's ba'onis, we're saying...
If we're saying ba'onis, then there'd be no reason to penalize her. But on the other hand, if we're saying the Chum always want to make a uniform rule of 24 hours, then 24 hours is 24 hours.
Regardless if she's ba'onis or not.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So it's not confusing.
Okay. Next. The Mishnah said, Kol isha sheyesh lo vest. We said in the Mishnah that any woman who has a vest, which again, a vest can... By the way, as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, the proper pronunciation of it is vestes. Vestes literally means a habit or a schedule. Even Ashkenazim commonly pronounce it vest. I don't know why, but when you learn in Chosin classes, for example, then they always use the term vest. So a vest basically means something that makes it that there's an it can be expected that she's going to have her period. So again, it can either be a fixed schedule, and we're going to learn about in the fourth paragraph in particular, we're going to talk about a wide variety of schedules that you can have that are considered valid schedules in halacha. And then you also have something called vest pagvuf, where she has certain physical symptoms that she feels right before her period.
But they have to be regular?
Yes. In all cases, we're going to learn about this in the fourth paragraph in detail, that's the shame, but we're going to talk about the idea that in order for it to be a vest, it has to have been established three times. It has to be that three times there was a certain fixed number of days or a certain fixed day of the month or a certain progression through the month or whatever. We're going to talk about it, like I said. So yeah, but it has to be three
regular times.
No, in other words, to give an example from the Mishnah over there, let's say, for example, you can have a woman who has a regular thing. Every 20th day, like clockwork, she has her period. So once that's been established three times, then from then on, she has a vest kavua. From then on, it can be expected that her period is going to come on the 20th. In order to take that away, you would need that three times it doesn't happen on the 20th. So again, we'll get to that later on. We'll get to that extensively, Be'ez Hashem. Nowadays, as I mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, it's somewhat uncommon for women to have regular vestes. Most women nowadays have irregular ones. In the times of the Gemara, it seems it was the other way around. Okay. Anyway, so again, that's one meaning of vest. The other one is, again, that she regularly has at least three times. She's had certain physical symptoms, certain particular symptoms, and then she has her period. So we said in the Mishnah that if she has a vest, then we said daya shaita, then we don't make her tummy lamafreya, because then we can assume, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, an expression that we're going to have a lot of times in our Masechta, orach bisman reba, the period usually comes at its regular time. If she has, if it's known that she has a particular scheduled time or a particular schedule or particular symptoms or whatever, then we can expect that it's going to come only with that.
After that.
Well, with or after, whatever, in the case of the scheduled days, it's going to be on that day, whatever. If her period is every 20 days, let's say, then there's no reason to assume that on the 19th day she already had her period, because usually she has it on the 20th. So therefore, there's no reason to do mess less. We can say Gaia Shaita. However, the Gemara says, Lema
time counts more than the vest.
Well, the vest is the time. One meaning of vest is a time. she has, it's a known thing that every 20th day she has her period.
Right.
So she had her period, let's say, the first one on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, let's say. The next one is 20 days later, Chof Nisan. The next one is going to be 20 days later, Yud Iyar, et cetera. Once that kind of pattern has been established three times, then there's no reason, let's say, for example, the next one, according to that, would be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So if she sees blood on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, there's no reason to assume that it exited her womb on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Because why would we assume that it came out on Erev Rosh Chodesh, her regular thing?
Exactly,
that's the point. So if she has a vest, then die a shaita. That's exactly the point.
So what counts, the vest or the period?
What do you mean, what counts? The vest, the staff tells us when we can expect her period.
And if she has a vest 3 days before period?
No, one second. Then you're misunderstanding what a vest is. A vest is, let's forget about vest agul for a second. Let's talk about vest hayomim or vest adilug or whatever. Forget vest agul for a second. Vest agul, you have these different kinds. You can have sometimes where it happens right before, sometimes you can have where it happens the day before, whatever. That depends on the individual woman. Each woman who has a vest agul is going to be somewhat different. We're talking about, let's say, a vest achodesh, let's say, or a vest ayomim, or whatever, different possibilities like that. Let's say, again, every 20th day. Well, let's take a simpler example. She has her period is known to come every 15th of the month. So she had Tesvav Nisan, Tesvav Iyar, Tesvav Sivan. That establishes now she has a vest kavua. So now, when it comes to Tammuz, when she has a Re'iyah Tesvav Tammuz, there's no reason to be concerned that maybe it actually started on your Dalid. Because she already has a known thing. She already has established three times that it comes on Tesvav. So that's what we're saying. So our Mishnah is saying, therefore, Daya Shaita, there's no reason to be Mekamer or the Mafreya any time before the 15th.
So the vest is really an occurrence. It's regular.
Yes. Yeah.
And that occurrence in a period.
It can be a period of days. It can be a day of a month. It can be a day of the week. It can be...
That is the period that she has.
Right. We're also going to get into then the question, which is very negaya to Taras Mishpacha nowadays, whether you count these periods, do you count the number of days or whatever, do you count them from the beginning of the period or from the end of it? We'll talk about that again. We'll talk about that in the Lamed. It seems that in the times of the Gemara, it was very common also that a woman would have a flow, would be all on one day. You'd have one day, she bleeds, and then that's it. Then the following day, she saw her, whereas nowadays, that's very uncommon. Most women bleed several days consecutively. So that's the question. You have a machlokes between the Alter Rebbe and almost all the other poskim, how to count it. We'll get to that in a lot. Okay. Anyway. All right. So the Gemara says, Lema masnissin rab dosihi below rabbanon. Should we have to say that our Mishnah, that saying that she has a vest and daya shaita, should we say that can only be according to rab dosa? The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, so part of what we're going to learn now is actually in the next Mishnah, Daf Zayin, but the rest of it is in a Braisa. The Mishnah says there, Rabbi Eliezer Oymar Arba Noshim Dayan Shaitan. Rabbi Eliezer says there that there's four particular circumstances where we say Daya Shaita, and these are all women who we don't expect them to be having, to be menstruating, to be having a flow of blood yet. Number one, Basula, a woman who, Basula over here doesn't mean the usual meaning of virgin, a woman who's not married yet. It means, as the Gemara is going to explain over there, Rashi mentions it over here, Basula's dumb. She's never menstruated yet. She's never had a flow. She's never had a period yet. Moberet, a pregnant woman. Usually they don't have periods. Menika, a woman who's nursing, same thing. Uskena, an old woman who after menopause. So Rabbi Eliezer says, in those four cases, Dayan Shaitan, but nobody else. Rav Doisa,
means what?
Dayan Shaitan, as we said in our Mishnah, meaning like Shammai, I said, that in that case, if she has a flow of blood, she's only Tamei from then on. We're not concerned about the Me'eslet or anything like that. Because these women, as it is, it's unexpected for them to have a period. So therefore, Rav Doisa says, Kol Isha, it's not just those four, Kol Isha Shiesh Levest Daya Shaitan. Any woman who has a regular vest, and apparently, since Rav Doisa says this, implies that the Chachamim disagree with him, that if she has a vest, then Daya Shaita. So we would have to say then that all missionaries like Rav Doisa. The Gemara says not necessarily. Afilu Temer Rabbanon, you could even say that all missionaries goes like a Chachamim. Ad kan le tigu Rabbanon alei de Rav Doisa ela shaloi b'shastesta. Because when are the Chachamim disagreeing with Rav Doisa, when she had a flow of blood, not at the time of her vest? Now, usually, fine, we would say, Orach Bizman Eba. So if she, for example, has, let's say, one on every 15th of the month, then fine. If she has a flow on the 15th, then fine, we can agree, Daya Shaita. There's no reason to think that it came on the 14th. But let's say all of a sudden, out of the blue, she has a flow on the 10th of the month, let's say. That's unexpected anyway. Yeah, anyway, can't say, oh, no, there's not a month. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say, well, in that case, 20 flowers, that's less. Or, because it's unexpected. Reb Dosa would disagree. Reb Dosa would still say that since she has a vest, then there's no particular reason to think that it started 24 hours ago. So 1 second. We're going to see in a second. We're going to see in a second. Hold on. We'll see in a second. We'll see another way of explaining it. Okay. So therefore, Ava B'Shach Vesta Modulei, but you could say if the blood comes at the time of her vest, on the 15th of the month, let's say, then the Chachamim would agree with her Vesta. Therefore, Mas Nisim B'Shach Vesta, but Divrei Hakel. So you could say on Mishnah, when it says that if she has a vest, Daya Shaita, we mean not just that she has a vest, but that the blood actually came on the expected day of the vest. Well, then the Chachamim would agree, Daya Shaita.
So that assumes that our Mishnah talks only about when it comes on time.
Yeah, that's exactly. We don't have to say that our Mishnah is like Reb Dosa. We can say that our Mishnah goes like a hum. We're not talking about that not only she has a vest, but it came at the time of her vest. Right. Okay. So the question is, okay, so the cloud did Reb Dosa after the Shaloi B'Shach vest on that. In that case, implying so far, it sounds like Reb Dosa is saying that even if the blood comes not at the time of her vest, you would also say that Daya Shaita. So let's figure that out. In that case, man tana lahada tana rabbanon. In that case, who is the author of the following braisa that says isha shiyash la vest, a woman who has a vest, who has a known fixed time when her period comes, kisma tomi la makreya. Then, if she finds a stain of blood, and we're going to talk about psamim extensively later on in the text, you have a concept. Partially deraita, partially derabanan, we'll get into it over there, that if she finds a blood stain on her body or on her clothing, actually on her body is more stringent, so let's stick with on her clothing, midrabanan, if she finds a stain of blood on her clothing, then she's tame, nida, assuming that we have reason to think that it came from her uterus, so we talk about, I think, in the eighth or ninth paragraph, we're going to talk about the exact details of when it's tame and when it's not. But anyway, the braisa says that if she has a vest, even though an actual flow maybe would be Daya Shaita, but Kisna Tomei L'Mafreya, but if she has a Kesem, if she has a stain of blood, then it's Tomei L'Mafreya, the Beged is Tomei all the way back to the last time that it was washed. Remember, the Beged itself becomes Tomei from her being Nidya, because, well, from her being Nidya, actually, because she being a Nidya, it's Matamei at Nidya. And the reason is she in Tira Shaloi B'Shach Vesta Matamim Esles, because were she to have a flow of blood not at the time of her vest, then we would say that she's Tomei Misafik for back 24 hours, based on what we just said, that Reb Dosa apparently disagrees and says that always Daya Shaita once she has a vest. Neimer Rabban Nivalei Reb Dosa. Would we have to say that this Braita is only according to Rabban and not Reb Dosa?
Because
apparently Reb Dosa would say, it seems that we just established that Reb Dosa would actually say that once she has a vest, we don't care whether the blood came at the time of the vest or not, always Daya Shaita. The Chachamim apparently are disagreeing because we're trying to make our mission work according to the Chachamim. In that case, this Braisa would work only according to the Chachamim also. And we'd rather not do that. The Braisa doesn't mention any dissenting opinion. We would rather say it goes according to the Chachamim and Reb Dosa. So no, the answer is a filo tamer Reb Dosa. No, you could actually say that this Braisa does go like Reb Dosa, because we could say that our Mishnah rather goes like Reb Dosa after all. We'll go back to our original assumption that it is like Reb Dosa. And well, the Braisa also, ad kan le poli Reb Dosa alayos that I bought on Ela B'Shach Vesta. We're going to retract what we said before. We thought that Reb Dosa would argue with the Chachamim in all cases, Shach Vesta or not. Now we're going to say that no. The Reb Dosa would only argue Ela B'Shach Vesta. So she knows that she has a regular vest on the 15th of the month, let's say, and blood comes on the 15th of the month. The Chachamim are going to say Nesles. Reb Dosa is going to say Daya Shaita. So that would be the Machlokes. Ava Shaloi B'Shach Vesta. But if it's not at the time of her vest, if she has it, let's say, on the 10th of the month, Moedi Lahu, then Reb Dosa would agree with the Chachamim, because now you can't say, Orach Vizmanei Bar anymore, because obviously it didn't come at its proper time. Therefore, Masnissin, Mishas Vesta, Reb Dosa. So our Mishnah is indeed talking about the time that the blood was at the time of her vest, but it would be only a coincidence of Dosa. So we do, after all, accept that our Mishnah is only a coincidence of Dosa.
So according to that version, the Mishnah would talk about
So the Mishnah would be talking about that she has a vest and it actually came at the time of the
time.
So the Chachamim would say it doesn't matter. We still hold Nesles. Rav Dosa would say, hold up, there's 24 hours. Rav Dosa would say, Daya Shasta. Had it been Shalor B'Shas Vesta, then both would agree that that's 24 hours.
You have to say this way, because otherwise you know...
Because otherwise it doesn't work with the Braisa. Right? Well, Braisa Divrei Hakol. Where's the Braisa? We can say it goes according to everybody. In particular, the Braisa could be according to everybody. Right, the Braisa that says that if she has a vest that the stain is Tomei L'Makreya, because if she sees a flow of blood, Shalor B'Shas Vesta, that's Nesles. We just said that would work according to Rav Dosa and according to the Chachamim.
Yeah, but we have to say that the Braisa talks about a case when it's not a
because the Braisa is saying more specifically, the Braisa explicitly says Shalor B'Shas Vesta.
Right.
So, and
the Mishnah, in that case, the Mishnah would be B'Shas
Vesta. And the Braisa would be Shalor B'Shas Vesta. Exactly. Right. So that's supposed to point out the flow of the Gemara basically is, in other words, that the flow of the Gemara is that we wanted to make the Mishnah work according to everybody. Once we have a Braisa, which we understand it the same way, then it won't work according to everybody. So that forces us to say that the Mishnah is only according to Rav Dosa. So the question is, V'loikma itcha. Okay, but why don't we say, like we tried to originally, after all, we could have said the Mishnah is like everybody is talking about the Shas Vesta, and the Braisa is talking only according to, and then the Braisa is going only according to the Chachamim. And talking Shalor B'Shas Vesta.
We could,
but why? So why don't we? The answer is Kivin De'ikah
Lo'ukmi. How would it work if we said that?
If we said that, we would say the Mishnah would be according to everybody. It would be talking about the Mishnah would be talking about everybody, according to everybody, and it would be B'Shas Vesta that she actually had the flow at the proper time, and therefore Daya Shaita. Everybody would agree Daya Shaita. We tried originally to say that that's maybe how the Chacham holds. And then we said, what about the Braisa? So we would say, the Braisa is only according to the Chachamim. If it's Shalor B'Shas Vesta, then that's less. Rav Dosa would say, even then Daya Shaita. As long as she has a vest, Rav Dosa would say, Daya Shaita. So why don't we say it that way?
But we could say the Chachamim B'Shas Vesta would say B'Shas Vesta.
Would say B'Shas Vesta, yeah, we could say Daya Shaita, yeah, why not? We have Rav Dosa saying, Kol Isha Shiesh Levest Daya Shaita, but Rav Dosa didn't specify whether it means the blood actually came B'Shas Vesta or not.
Right.
The Chachamim also didn't. So we have two ways of explaining it. We can say Rav Dosa would say always Daya Shaita, whether it's B'Shas Vesta or not, and the Chachamim hold only it's B'Shas Vesta, otherwise not.
The
Mishnah would be talking about B'Shas Vesta, and everybody would agree that Daya Shaita. Or we could say that Rav Dosa would say that even Rav Dosa is only saying B'Shas Vesta, and the Chachamim are saying never. Whether she has a vest or not doesn't matter. Always 24 hours. So why are we saying it the second way? The reason is, given the ikka, the ukmi, the kula, the chumra, since we're able to understand the Mishnah and the Braisa one way which is the kula and one way which is the chumra mekninan, then we establish it on the coins of the more chumradic way, because after all, we're dealing with fundamentally, okay, the concept of, nidya is the right thing, the concept of metzlef, we're saying over here is only dirabanan, but still, it's yag for Torah, yeah. Okay. Let's analyze the Braisa further. Katani, we learned in the Braisa, we said the reason why we said a kesem makes her tame until makes the beggar tame until back to the last time that it was washed. We said she tira shalor b'shas vesta matamam esles. We said the reason is because if she has a flow of blood Shalor B'Shas Vesta, not at the time of her vest, then she's going to be tame retroactively 24 hours. In other words, that we're saying the reason why the kesem stain is matama l'mafreya is because we find by her that it's possible for there to be a re'iyah where there's tuma l'mafreya. So, time of the isha shiesh l'vesta to plig rabbanon ben kismal l'riyasa. So what are we saying? Only because she has a vest are we distinguishing between the stain and the re'iyah. That was saying the stain, that we say the piece of clothing is tame all the way back to the last time it was washed, even if it was, let's say, a week ago. Whereas with her herself, we're saying Daya, with her ear herself, we're saying Daya Shaita. Well, that apparently that's what we're saying. We're saying,
but how can you say that?
Well, one logic is actually, Mephoshim explained, that the logic is a re'iyah, at least, okay, you see blood, you know approximately when it came. Okay, you could have, conceivably, it may have started 24 hours ago, but as we said, it's not going to be much before that. As opposed to a stain on clothing, it could have been there, could have come a week ago, whatever. Yeah.
she would have seen it.
Maybe, maybe not. She may not pay attention, not necessarily. Whatever, anyway. The point is, obviously there was something at some point. She obviously didn't notice it until now, so who knows how far back it is. Anyway, so only because she has a vest are we saying, therefore, that the kesem is tomei as far back as we can take it, whereas the ri'ya is only tomei retroactively maximum 24 hours, implying ha shan noshim sh'amu chachamim dayan shaitan, implying that when it comes to, for example, the four women that Rabbi Eliezer was talking about, the Bistula and the pregnant woman, etc. So it sounds like when it comes to them, when we say by them Dayan Shaitan, we would say by them Kisman Kiriyasan, we would use the same rule for a stain on their clothing as for an actual Riyah, that there's no mess left, we would only say Dayan Shaitan. So the question is money. Which Tana actually says that? The answer is Rav Chanina ben Antignus. That would be the opinion of Rav Chanina ben Antignus. The armor of Yehuda Amar Shmuel.
So that we're trying to see who's the other bracha.
Yeah. So who is the chacham of our bracha? Exactly.
Based on the bracha, that would be Rabbi.
Rav Chanina ben Antignus. So the armor of Yehuda Amar Shmuel Meshum Rav Chanina ben Antignus. Kol hanoshim kisman tamei lemasreya. With all women, meaning most women, their kesem is tamei as far back as possible. Meaning, in other words, if this piece of clothing was last washed a week ago, and it wasn't checked since then, and now we find a stain on it, we have to assume it was tamei for the past week. So the kesem is tamei lemasreya. The noshim sh'amu chachamim dayan shaitan, as opposed to a re'iya, again, where it would be maximum 24 hours, or back to the last week. But the noshim sh'amar chachamim dayan shaitan. But when it comes to the four women that Rabbi Eliezer was saying dayan shaitan, then we would say kisman kiriyasan. Then a stain on their clothing has the same status in halacha as an actual ri'ya, namely dayan shaitan applies to both of them. Chutz mitinoytes shalegias manaluyos. With the exception among the four, we have a girl who is not of age yet to start having periods. Where then, then even if her sheets are filthy with blood, and we don't know whether it came from her or not, we're not concerned about it. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains, usually like this, the whole concept of ksamim is only drabah. We're going to talk about later in the Masechta. We learned briefly in this discussion the concept that when a woman has a period, she has a haugosha. She has a she feels it at the time. She feels that something is coming out or whatever. Right? No, we're not talking about premenstrual. That's vestagot. That's something else. We're talking about she has an actual haugosha. At the moment the blood comes out, she feels it. That's what we said before. That's what Rabbi, you tried to use that explanation before to say why we wouldn't say like he'll say. Right. So we're going to learn as we go through the Masechta. Minat Torah, that's what's required for her to be Tamei Nida. There needs to be a Hargosha. Midrabanan, we have this whole concept of a Kesem that even though she just finds a stain on her clothing and there was no Hargosha or anything, she's still Tamei Nida, because assuming that the blood came from her. However, when we learn this concept, when we learn the details of the Ksamim, we're going to talk about that it depends. For example, I think we mentioned this briefly the other day in the Gemara. If let's say she walked through a butcher shop, and then she finds blood on her clothing, the likelihood is it came from there. Then we can be makeup with it. Well, that's true also. That is also true. And we'll get to that. But anyway, the point is that, let's say, with this young girl who's not old enough to be having regular periods, so even if we find a lot of blood on her clothes, and even if, let's say, or bed sheets or whatever, and even though she didn't go into a butcher shop or whatever, nevertheless, so she's not old enough to be having periods yet. So there's no reason to assume. Well, no. But again, the whole concept of ksamim is only dirabanan. When do we make that zera? Rashi stresses it. When do we make that zera? Only when he gives mana. Only when she's old enough to start menstruating. Okay. So before that, therefore, we're not gozer. We follow the din d'oraisa that only if there was hagosha would she be tamei. And here there was no hagosha.
So if you're saying she has hagosha before she's 13, then what?
If she has hagosha, then sure, she's tamei. But we're talking about, again, we're not talking about it here. We're talking about she woke up in the morning and found her sheets are covered with blood.
Right.
So then, it's only a kesem. Kesem is only the drabanan. Therefore, yeah. So,
Hagosha, you would say no.
The Hagosha is not a kesem. A kesem, the definition of kesem is that we find a stain without knowing where it came from. Yeah.
And that's the drabanan.
That whole concept is only the drabanan. Hagosha is the right, obviously. So we're not dealing with that, right? So therefore, so that's the thing. So we're saying again that even that if it so it's one thing. In other words, if it's a pregnant woman or a nursing woman or whatever, the fact of the matter is she has been having regular periods up until now. Therefore, if she finds blood on her bedclothes or whatever, we still have to assume, we still have to follow the usual rules of Kesen. It may well have come from it, from her, and therefore it's Tommy. But with Tineka, Shalegi is Mana, we're saying that we don't care. By the way, an interesting point, actually, the Acharonim talk about the question, what about if she finds a stain of blood on her body, on her leg, for example, or whatever? Now, we're going to talk about, when we talk about Tumim, a stain of blood on her actual body is treated a lot more stringently than a stain of blood on her clothing, yes. But there's a much higher likelihood that it came from her. That's possible, and we're going to deal with that. We're going to get to that point, but we do, in general, treat those a lot more stringently. So the Bach wants to say that in this case, yes, we would treat it stringently also. The Gemara is only mentioning over here a case where you find it on her sheet, implying, but if you found it on her body, you would have to mask her. The Shach, on the other hand, argues that not, that even doesn't matter.
If she was pregnant earlier than usual, if she was 10, so then what?
I mean, would she even be able to? I don't know.
Yeah.
Bechlal, I mean, we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta. We're going to talk about in the fifth paragraph. We're going to talk about the dinim. We're going to talk about the simonim that make a boy or a girl considered to be a gadol, shei fyrus, and the various other changes of puberty or whatever. I mean, we say bonim harein simonim, but that primarily applies after she's 12. If she's under 12, then I she may be medically, I guess she's pregnant, but I don't know that we consider. I don't know. The past is not, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that point soon. Okay. All right. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So the point is, in other words, that Rav Chanina ben Antigonus is saying just that usually kisman tamim l'maseya, but in the cases where daya shaita, these four women, then the Kesem and the Re'iyah have the same exact din. And with the Tinoikas, it's even less, because with the Tinoikas, the Kesem is not relevant at all. So the question is, Rav Chanina Kesem Klal, does Rav Chanina even hold of the concept of Kesem at all? Does he even hold that a Kesem makes a woman tummy? Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Well, if he doesn't hold, then how could this Braisa be like him? We just said before, Kisman Kiriyasan, but we see apparently from a different source, from a different Braisa, that Chanina ben Antigonus seems to not hold of the concept of Kesem. Namely, Tanya, Kolam Noshim Kisman Tomei, in general, most women, their stains of blood are Tomei, under the appropriate circumstances, the noshim shalom chachamim die in shaita and kisman tomei, and even the four women that die in shaita, the psula and the skena and so on and so forth, were still the kesem and tomei. Noshim shalom chachamim die in shaita, ein lahen kesem. He says they don't have a kesem at all. So here in the previous braisa, we seem to be saying that he's making an exception for Tinoikis. Only because lo yigiyas mana, but he always seems to generalize that all four of them there's no kesem. My lab ain lahem kesem tzal. Doesn't that imply that he means that for those four at least? So, okay, when we said does he not hold a kesem? We didn't mean he doesn't hold a kesem at all. We mean does he not hold a kesem as far as those four, right? The answer is life. No, that's not what he means. Ein lahem kesem l'mafreya. He means by the other women, if they have a kesem, we don't go the 24 hours back. Because again, they have a chazak by the four, because they have a chazak of mesulokas damim. You have a chazak that they're not currently menstruating. Therefore, there's no reason to assume 24 hours back, according to any of the reasons. And we hold it. But not l'mafreya, right. Abo yesh lahem kesem, mikanalamba. But he will agree that if they have a kesem, then they're tamei from then on. So that's all it is. So he's making an exception for tinoikas, but the other ones, yes. Okay. So what does that mean? And the Tanakama that Rav Chanina ben Antigonus is arguing with holds that a kesem is metame even for those four women 24 hours back? Why?
If
Rav Chanina ben Antigonus is making the point that for those four women it's only metame lahaba, obviously he's arguing with somebody. He's obviously arguing with the Tanakama, who would say that even with those four women, even the Psula and the Manika and whatever, it's still Matama 24 hours retroactively. Or not even 24 hours. No, we said before, Tomei l'mafreya means as far back as a piece of clothing was washed. As far back as a piece of clothing was washed. Yes, so why?
Why
would we say that? I mean, if they're Mesulokas Dummy, if it's Chazaka, that they're not bleeding, why would we say that the Kesem is Tomei gazed back? As it is, the rarity that they should. The answer is A. Yes, as a matter of fact, we should say that. Reb Meir, the Tanakhama of this Braisa would be Reb Meir. The Machmer Gabek Tumim. Where Reb Meir we see is Machmer when it comes to Kesem. Rashi explains that it means that he says that in a way we're machmir on a kesem even more than re'iyah. And again, the logic for that we said before is because after all, a re'iyah, at least you have a reasonably known time frame when it happened, as opposed to a kesem you don't know at all. Tosfos disagrees with that understanding of it, and just says that Rameir is machmir when it comes to kesem, that he usually is more machmir than the chachamim. Not necessarily that we're going to say he's machmir more than re'iyah, but that he's machmir more than the chachamim. Makel. So we have three opinions, right? We have the chachamim, we have Rameir, and we have Rabbanan
Menzik.
Rabbanan
would become the Abba, and
Rameir would say even the Machreya. Yeah.
And the Chum would say
it depends. Is regular women versus the four women, right? The Tanya, as we learn, right? Kol Anoshim Kisman Tomei LeMafreya. All women, or most women, their Kesem is Tomei as far back as we can go. The Noshim Shamal Chachamim Dayan Shaitan Kisman Tomei LeMafreya. Divrei Reb Meir. And even the women that die in Shaita, nevertheless, they're kept in the Tomei as far back as it can go. So says Reb Meir. Right. Reb Chanina, well, the previous washing of the clothing, rather, or the previous bedikah of the clothing, right. So we're focusing more here on the Tomei of the clothing. Reb Chanina ben Antignus Omer Noshim Shamacham Dayan Shaitan Kisman Kiriyosan. Reb Chanina ben Antignus says no, those four women that Dayan Shaitan Kisman Kiriyosan, their Kesem has the same status as their Riyah, only Mitanu Abba, not Lamafreya. And
interestingly, we asked a question about him that he didn't hold on Kisma, and here he says Kisma Kiriyosan.
Well, that's what we were asking on the face of it, because that's what we asked. Because when we asked, what is it? So we said, because we had a braisa that said, Eimlahem Kesem. Okay, but now, so now we clarify that it meant Eimlahem Kesem. It doesn't mean there's no Kesem at all. It just means that it doesn't apply retroactively. But to notice she is manaligos, yeshla Kesem, when you have a girl who's reached the time when she should be expecting to have a period, then the genium of Kesem start applying to her. If it's not yet the time for her to start having Re'iyah, then Kesem does not apply to her. The aim of the idea is monolithic. What is considered that she's reached the time to start having periods? Mishi gir yimei hanu'urim. Once it reaches the years of nairus, usually a girl becomes a nairus, starts reaching puberty around 12. You actually have a machlokas rishonim. Does the Gemara mean over here when she reaches the age of 12, even if she doesn't start having the physical signs of maturity yet? Or do we mean that it has to have both, that it has to be 12 and the physical signs of maturity? Machlokas apostim. Okay. I'm not sure, but I mean, nowadays, not. Now, keep in mind that many of these dinim are only as far as Truma and Kodashim, and as far as the dinim of whether she's Tomei for her husband, a girl that age nowadays isn't married yet anyhow, so it's kind of a moot point. Okay. Fine. Continues the Mishnah. Baham Shameshis the Idin Kola. We said another case is we had a woman who has relations and checks using idim or adim, as we said in the Mishnah, there's two ways of understanding it. Idim meaning worn out cloth, or adim meaning witnesses, because these cloths testify whether she had a period or not. So we said that,
really?
No. We're gonna learn in the next paragraph. You're not allowed to have relations in front of actual adim. We mean that metaphorically these cloths serve as adim because they serve. So again, you have some of the Mephoshim on the Mishnayos and the Gemara explain that we punctuate the word aging, and what we mean is these cloths metaphorically serve as aging because you check them afterwards and you see is there blood on them, and that tells us whether she menstruated or not. Or the other possibility is you punctuate the word idim, which idim comes from a word you find it in a couple of places in Tanakh that means a worn out cloth. Because that's what you use for bedikah. You don't use new cloth because they're very stiff. You use a bit of a worn out cloth, softer cloth, but it's easier again. Okay.
So the meaning in general, the general meaning of worn
so the out word clothes. The word idim means worn out clothes, right? So in this connection, when we talk about mishamesh the idim, and we're talking about here and the next parent, then what we mean is so again, it's either to put it in modern terms, you would call them bedikah cloth. But is the Mishnah calling them Edim because they provide testimony, or is it calling them Edim because they're worn out? Whatever. Anyway, the Mishnah had said that if a woman checks with Edim, then it's considered a Pekidah. It's considered a Bedikah, and then as the Chachamim said in the Mishnah, well, that's what we're going to think. That's what we're going to discuss. the armor of Yehud. Hold on. Now, one thing we have to remember is we're going to learn about this in more detail later on, and then the next parak, I think, in the next parak, we're going to talk about there's supposed to actually be three bedikas that are taking place in connection with a woman, with a husband and wife having relations. There's supposed to be that she does a bedikah beforehand. She puts in a cloth and does a bedikah beforehand. Then after they have relations, both she and her husband are supposed to take cloth and wipe themselves. Then the point of it is, next, to check. Now, the point is, and as we're going to learn in the next paragraph, if, for example, we find blood on his, the likelihood is it came from her, because, you know, if he has something that bleeds, he would realize it, basically. Right. So the interesting point is also, and in connection with this Gemara, in connection with the next paragraph, does this din apply nowadays? And here also you have a machlokas for showing him. The Rambam and the Rosh hold that it does. That even nowadays there's no truma and kodshim, nevertheless all those bedikas have to be done. Most of the other rishonim disagree with that and say this is only relevant to truma and kodshim. Therefore, nowadays it's not applicable. The basic halacha follows the other poskim, so therefore it's not necessary to do. However, what it does say in Shulchan Aruch. One second. However, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and yes, the Alter Rebbe brings this in his Shulchan Aruch and discusses this in his Shulchan Aruch, is if the woman does not have a regular vest, then the first few times, the first three times, I think, that she and her husband have relations, she has to do a bedikah before and after to make sure, in particular, well, I don't know, before, she has to make do a bedikah after, at any rate, to make sure that she's not what's called Roya Machnas Pashmish. You have certain women that their period is triggered by having relations. And if that happens, while they're having relations, it's actually a very serious situation. We learned about it in Shavuos, that if it happens that she starts bleeding while her husband, while they're having relations, then the husband has to wait until he goes soft and only then withdraw. And if he withdraws while he's still erect, then it's a serious issue because he's still having hannah. So you have a if she's Roya Machnas Pashmish and it happens enough times. So nowadays, okay, she'd go to a gynecologist. In the olden days, when you didn't have that, if that happens, that she's Roya Machnas Pashmish and it keeps on happening, they're going to have to get divorced because they can't have relations. Because every time,
never gets
married. So it depends. Actually, it's not so simple as that, because it might be that it's only this particular husband that triggers that. No, it could, because for example, no, because different husbands, because different men have different size, Ibrahim.
She's probably the one.
So it's possible. It's possible, but it's not necessary. And one thing you have to remember also, and this is going to be very important later on, only bleeding from the uterus makes her tummy. If there's bleeding, for example, from the vaginal walls or whatever, that does not make her tummy. So when we're talking about over here, specifically Roya Machnas Pashmish. But we'll talk about later on. We'll talk about, I think, in the second paragraph, because Gemara is going to give us a way to check whether the blood is coming from the uterus or from the sides. We'll get to that. But anyway, the point is, suppose we establish it's coming from the uterus. If it keeps on happening, then she and her husband are going to have to get divorced. And if she marries another man and the same thing happens, and this happens a third time, yeah, then she can never remarry. So therefore, this is pretty serious stuff. So therefore, if a woman does not have a regular vest, then they would have to check the first few times to verify that she's not Roya Machnas Pashmish. Once they've gone the first few times and nothing happened, then we can assume that we're safe and then we're good. And then according to most poskim, she never needs to do a bedikah before or after having relations again. Today, when there's no truma and kodshim. Again, according to the Rambam and the Rosh, no, but the consensus of poskim is not like that. Okay, fine. So now let's get back to the Gemara. So we said in the Mishnah that if she uses cloths, if she uses bedikah cloths before and after, then we said that counts as a tekidah. So let's discuss that. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, aid shall lichne, one second, aid shall lichne tashmish enim emayet kepkidah. The aid that she checked with before tashmish does not count as a tekidah. In other words, let's say, for example, normally we're saying she's supposed to be doing a bedikah before and after. Let's say she only did it before, and then she didn't, for whatever reason, she didn't do it after. That would not count as a pekidah. If later on that day, let's say, for example, it was Tuesday night, they had relations, and she wakes up Wednesday morning and finds that she's tummy, and let's say, for example, the last bedikah she had done was Tuesday morning, or let's say any time before Tuesday morning or whatever, we'd still say nestless. We'd still go back 24 hours. We would ignore the bedikah that she did before having relations Tuesday night, says Rav Yehuda. Why is that? My time, because she's in a hurry, muhuma means like she's in a hurry, lebesa, for her house, which is a nice way of saying, it's a euphemistic way of saying, to have relations, right. In other words, she's in a hurry to have relations, so therefore, she may not do a thorough bedikah. So the question is, so what, it was still a bedikah? The answer is, because of that, therefore, she may not carefully insert the cloth into all the holes and crevices and all that are in there. She may just do like a very superficial wiping, and that doesn't count. An interesting No. Usually she's not in such a hurry, therefore we can assume she'll do a proper bedikah. It's interesting actually, here you have a machlokes, the Ravid brings a possibility. Maybe does this imply that the bedikah before Tashmish, even if we hold like the Rambam and the Rosh that you have to do it nowadays, or in the time of Truma and Kodshim that you had to do it always, maybe it doesn't need to be in all the chur and the sedakid. Maybe it doesn't need to be in all the crevices and cracks and everything based on our Gemara. On the other hand, a lot of other Rishonim disagree with the Ravid and say, no, that's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, no, because in other words, you could understand the Gemara that way, that because she's not required to do an Chorin and Stokin, and therefore she may not. On the other hand, most of the other Rishonim argue with the Ravid. They say, that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means, of course, she's required to. If a Bedikah is required, then it's required, the Chorin of a Stokin. What we mean is, she may get careless and not do it right. That's all.
A woman is not so
careful. No, it is. When she's in a hurry, she wants to have relations with her husband. She may rush things. She may not do it properly. Okay. So therefore, so that's why that doesn't count. Okay. So what's it to know? Let's look at our Mishnah and see what our Mishnah says and see if this fits with what Rabbi Hordad said. We said, Hamashemeshes be'edim harezu kukkida. We said if she has relations using edim, again using these cloths, before and after, then it's considered like a kukkida. Now, what does it mean? Meshameshes be'edim, my lav chad l'knei tashmish v'chad la'achar tashmish. Doesn't it mean that we mean edim is plural? So it means we'll have just one bedikka before tashmish and one after. And it sounds like both of them count.
They have two different cloths?
Yeah. You can't use the same cloth. What if you won't be able to tell you. So my lav chad l'knei tashmish v'chad la'achar tashmish. The answer is loy. No, you don't have to say that that's what it means. It means Aidi v'Aidi l'Achar Tashmish. Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about the two that are after Tashmish. I, why are there two? Because the Echad Loi, the Echad Lo. One for him and one for her. Kidisnan, Derech B'nai Yisrael, Meshamshet B'shnei Idim, Echad Loi, V'Echad Lo. As we learn in the next paragraph, that the proper way for Jewish women is to have relations and check with two Idim, one for him and one for her. So therefore, so maybe our Mishnah means, in other words, that you're assuming, you Makshin are assuming that our Mishnah is saying the eight means the two for her, one before and one after, and each one counts as a kiddah, and that would contradict what Rabbi Yehuda says, but no, maybe the Mishnah means the two after, one for him and one for her, and only those count, which would be exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, the ones before don't count. So like, hi, Mai, what kind of comparison is that? If you say that you're talking about the two that she uses, one before Tashmish and one after Tashmish, then Itzrich, then the Chiddush of it is we need the Mishnah to say it, because otherwise we would think, like Rabbi Yehuda, like said, since she's in a hurry, she wants to have relations, then therefore she may not do a thorough checking. So you could say that the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that nevertheless it counts as a Pkidda.
Because he does it.
We're talking about all the cloths that she uses. But even though there's a possibility that she may rush things and not do a proper job, nevertheless, the Mishnah might be implying that it's okay, which would contradict what Rabbi Yehuda says. That would be a chiddush.
Because we're saying
one for her before and one for her after, but we're saying even the one before counts as a kiddush.
That would be
the chiddush. That would be a big chiddush. That could be what the Mishnah wants to tell us by using the word edim plural. Ella, Iamut, Aidi, Ba'idil, Acha, Tashmish. But if you're talking about the two of them are both the ones that they're wiping themselves with him and her after Tashmish, Pshita. Well, then obviously that counts as a Pshita. What's the Chiddush of it?
There's no hurry
then, exactly. So what's the Chiddush that should count as a Pshita? The answer is the Chiddush is Maudatema Shemakira. So it's Mechore, it has to mean before, and in that case it contradicts Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is no. The answer is Maud Tema Shemakita Sipasdan Kachadol, you might think maybe there's a possibility that the one after Tashmish, maybe she had a small amount of blood, even the side of a mustard seed, or to hapena shikvasera, and then it gets covered with shikvasera. Think of it, you're wiping afterwards, so obviously the shikvasera coming off onto the cloth. So therefore, there's a possibility there may have been a minute amount of blood, and it's covered with shikvasera, and therefore you're not going to see it. So maybe that shouldn't count as a bedikah. Maybe therefore that shouldn't count as a bedikah, because there might easily be blood there, which is missing. Kamash Malan, right. Kamash Malan, that is the chiddush that it counts. So not to say we're talking about the bedikah lifnei tashmish. We can still accept what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Shmuel, bedikah lifnei tashmish doesn't count because, as Rabbi Kina said, she's in a hurry and she may not do a proper job. The chiddush is that even the one after tashmish, even though there's a possibility of shikvazera getting in the way, the Iboy Sema, or another way you can understand the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is telling us is, Shtei Bedikas Atzrichur Rabban. You should know, the Chachamim required her to do two Bedikas, Chad Lifnei Tashmish V'Chad La'achar Tashmish, one before and one after, the Chikotani Harit, so that's why it uses the word Eidim. So it is actually talking about the one before and the one after, but it's because the fact is that's how the Takana is. They have to do one before and one after. The reason why, when it says it is like a pkida, means ala achar tashmish. It's only talking about the one after tashmish. So we can still accept what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that only the one after tashmish counts. The reason why the Mishnah used the word eidim is because the fact is you're supposed to use two, one before, one after. So the question is,
if the only one after the smell is after the kiddah, after the...
The one beforehand is not for the purpose of taking away from the mass blood. The one beforehand is just for the practical matter. You don't want her to have relations with her husband, which is an idah.
That's why.
Yeah. So the question is, v'ha hamasham neshet katoni. What do you mean? The Mishnah uses the expression that if she has relations with Adim, implying that we're not talking about something that she has to do, just if she happened to do it. The answer is Tony Umashameshes. The answer is that what the Mishnah may mean is not that if she happens to do it, but a woman who uses Adim, meaning the proper thing is Umashameshes. She is supposed to use Adim. She is supposed to use one cloth before and one cloth after. Again, according to the Rambam and the
Rosh Hashanah.
Umashameshes means she's required to be mashamesh with two Adim, with two cloths, one before using, wiping with one cloth before and wiping with one cloth after. Doing a bedikah, that is, with one cloth before and one cloth after. The point is, and with the word hamashameshes made it sound like if she happens to use two cloths, then here's the din. Umashameshes means she is required to use two cloths, one before, one after. So therefore, again, the reason why the Mishnah says Adim plural is because that's how the Takana is. She's supposed to use two.
One of these two is the
is to say, make sure that she's not nida when she has relations with her husband,
right.
And the other one to make sure that she didn't become something afterwards. Right. Again, according to the Rambam and the Rosh, that concept applies even nowadays.
Right.
And according to everybody else, it only applies when it comes to Truma and Kachim. Right.
Right.
So therefore, so in any case, according to either one of these answers, we can say that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Either that the one afterwards counts, even though there's a possibility of shifas that are getting in the way, or that the fact of the matter is she's required to use two, one before and one after.
One to know that she's not telling me before, and one to know that she's... but
it doesn't count as a chiddush because, as Christina said, she may be in a hurry and not do a problem.
One afterwards, that would always count.
Not always, that definitely counts. There's no hurry there, right? Right. I guess we can finish two more lines. Okay, the Mishnah said, "Mema etes al yad mesles." We said that if she uses the two cloths like that, we said the bedika after tashmish takes away from the mesles, and we said it also takes away from kida to kida. The hashta mesles, mema etes. Obviously, if it takes away from the 24 hours. Kiddah and boy. How much more so? Obviously, it takes away from the time of the last kiddah. What's the chiddush of it? The answer is ma'udat him. The S-class, koshabar, abonel, seder, tarot. You could say like this. You know why maybe the Chachamim are makel and say that the bedikah after tashmish counts and we're not worried about shikhar zera getting in the way is because you don't want to ruin tarot 24 hours back. So fine, we'll be willing to be makel like that. But to say that should therefore take away from the last kiddah, to say, for example, she did a kiddah at 6 p.m. and now it's only 10 o'clock at night, and she's wiping afterwards. Maybe the chum are not so close for 4 hours. Kamash Malan, even in that case, we say we're not worried about the shikha zera situation, checking a bidika after Tashmish counts as a valid bidika, and therefore we're not worried about anything that happened before that, and we're not worried about there having been a drop of blood there that was covered with shifa zera.
So it would be okay.
It's fully count. It's fully count. Not only when it comes to mass left, but even for kida, right? Even for the few hours since last kida, it still also works. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.